We finished John chapter 8 last week, and we saw the reaction when Jesus just kept on preaching, and you saw the audience that heard him on that day, to include the religious leaders plus the common folk. It really got hot and heavy. Well, chapter 9 continues, believe it or not, continues the historical timeline from 8 to 9. Remember the lesson I taught you about judicial blindness? I held off referring to the verse found in chapter 9, knowing that we would eventually get to it in our reading. Watch how chapter 9 ends. And chapter 9 ends with Jesus speaking. Okay? Chapter 9, there's a man that's been born blind from birth. Okay? He's in the temple complex. Jesus is still there. And Jesus heals him. And I'll leave it at that. Okay? John 9. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? I'm going to save my comment for verse 2. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in that blind man. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, implying before his death and subsequent ascension, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, Well, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? He answered and said, Now I want you to watch this progression as we go through chapter 9. Notice what he says at the beginning. A man. A man that is called Jesus made clay. And he anointed my eyes. And said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? The blind man, now healed, says, I don't know. Please be seated. Have I got your attention? Have I got some curiosity in the congregation? Now, verses 1 and 2, especially verse 2, is very important that the average Christian in America reads verses 2 and just simply keeps reading. Notice the question. So Jesus is with the 12. He's in the same temple complex. And beloved, that complex was so huge, it could house thousands of people at any given time. Thousands and thousands of people. And here's this man, born blind. So he's in the temple complex, maybe rattling a little cup. You know, he needs to get a quick bite, someone to go run off and get him a hot meal, begging. And so the apostles see this, and they say, Hey, psst, Jesus, who messed up? Who messed up? Him or mommy and daddy? Because he was born blind. In the Eastern world, the Mideast, China, Japan, Korea, in that Eastern mindset, any child that is born with a birth defect, like this man, is automatically deemed cursed by the gods. Your 12 apostles had the same thinking, because that's what they grew up with. If you were born with a deformity, in this case, born blind from birth, somebody in your family did a whammy, and God zapped that child with blindness. That's what that means. And I can bring something even closer to home. In 1991, Uncle Sugar sent me back to South Korea, which is in the Orient. And the Korean people have the same belief that if a child is born with a cleft palate, or born with an extra hand, or a missing a thumb, or born with no legs, somebody in your family messed up big time. That's judgment on your family. Well, there was a gentleman that came to our church. Unbeknownst to us until he first came in, what is the average response by any Westerner when he meets a person for the very first time? I did it this morning with our dear brother Hutton. He came up to me, he extended his arm, his hand, I embraced it and shook it. That's Western. We reached for this man's opposite hand to shake. And he put forth the other arm and hand. And he was very hesitant. The arm that he should have used was solid plastic. He was born with no right arm. And he told us that in his culture, he's a bad man. That hand, that prosthetic hand, looked just like my hand. It had all the markings, all the little lines that you would see in real flesh. But when you shook it, it weighed a piece. Every GI shook the fake hand. And the tears. Because we're telling him, we accepted him as who he was. And not as a cursed man in his culture. Now, how relevant is that to our text? Now, notice Jesus. He has to correct them. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. So Jesus, notice, Jesus never tolerated false teaching. So verse 2 is proof that there was a false teaching in that culture that if you were born with some physical abnormality or a deformity, you were evil and you were bad and the gods have cursed you because somebody in your family messed up. Jesus automatically kills that false teaching. But notice what he says. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So those of us who believe in predestination and election, watch this. God knew from all eternity, way before creation, that God was going to have a blind man from birth stationed at that location in the temple complex for his son and the 12 disciples to walk by to have this encounter with God in the flesh. That's what Jesus is saying. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was purposely born blind for Jesus on this occasion at the set time to heal his blindness in order for Jesus to make a very public statement of who he was. And he tells them, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, beloved, back in 30 AD, when the sun went down, there was no artificial light. Would you agree? Your only light was by candle or maybe a fireplace. Beloved, all work ceased at night. That's the image that Jesus is giving. While as long as the sun is shining, men can work. They can paint. They can build a home. They can work out in the field until sundown. Would you agree? But when the night comes, beloved, that's it. You go to bed. Lights out. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, verse 6 really causes people to go bonkers. Jesus spits on the ground and makes a little mud ball. And then Jesus takes that mud and Jesus has to stoop down and he basically just rubs that mud in the eye socket. And then he tells the dude who can't see, and now there's mud. I'm assuming the man had to have been escorted. He didn't have a stick, tap, 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 tap. He was probably motioned over by the people. Wash. And when the mud came off, his eyes opened for the very first time. Now you're sitting there saying, could not have Jesus simply say, see? Yes. Could Jesus just have just simply looked at him and simply walked away with the 12, and him being God could have simply healed the man with no physical contact? Yes. Why do you think Jesus did this? I'll tell you why. This is to show us that Jesus never followed a playbook. Jesus could do whatever he wanted to do, even in the act of healing. He stood outside the tomb of his best buddy, Lazarus, who's now been four days dead. He's already smelling up the tomb because he's decomposing. He just wanted them to roll the stone. Jesus could have gone in there and under the cover of some dark tomb, did mumbo jumbo and out pops out Lazarus. No, he just simply speaks, calls him by name, and Lazarus comes forth. Jesus, on another occasion, just told them, take these 12 big jugs, load them up with water, now dip, drink. Man, this even beats French wine. Jesus is not confined to how we think Jesus should act. Are you listening? We try to put God in a box. And we try to tell God, here's my box, God. And as long as you're in my box and you act according to my rules in my box, you're cool. You're my God. You're my champion. Jesus can never be confined to a box, my friend. If he wanted to use spit and mud, that is his prerogative as the Almighty. If he simply wanted to touch the man, he had that prerogative. If he just wanted to command without a touch, that is his prerogative. Jesus is under no obligation to dance and jump to our tune or to our beating drums. Are you with me? God is sovereign. He is independent, he is absolutely sovereign, and God is not held to some playbook that God has to play according to our rules. That's the point in this instance. Now, look at verse 7. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. I got good news for you. Archaeologists, over the years, digging in that part of the world, they have discovered this pool. They know exactly the location of this historical event in the life of Jesus. If you go to Jerusalem on a Holy Land tour at on your dime, they will show you the pool of Siloam. Now, let's wrap this up. Verse 8. This guy's neighbors and they which before had seen him. That was blind. So there are people who knew who this guy was, because he's there every day begging. Is this not he that sat and begged? Notice, everyone knows this guy. So notice, Jesus didn't pick somebody who was totally a stranger. Jesus purposely, before time, is going to choose this man for this particular miracle done in public. And everybody's realizing, hey, this guy can see. He's no longer begging. This is the same man, ain't he? Some said, yeah, this is him. Now notice how Jesus always causes division. Here's another proof. Were they all on the same sheet of music about this man's identity? Some said, yeah. Others said, well, he looks like him. Looks like him. And then he pipes up. I'm he. And so what's the normal curiosity of all of us? Verse 10. Who opened your eyes? Now, chapter 9 is 41 verses. And just like with chapter 8, we're going to do it in small chunks. I want to show you what's called progressive illumination. Progressive understanding. What does the man say in verse 11? A man. Underline. A man. Just an ordinary man. Called Jesus. He anointed my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool, and I did that, and now I can see. A man. A man. Well, they asked the blind man who now can see, where is this Jesus? And we conclude with, I don't know. I don't know. Simply a man. An ordinary man. Wow. Well, may God choose to bless his word. We're going to follow this progressive illumination in the rest of this chapter. Amen.